With the growth of the evangelical mega churches, especially of the seeker-driven and purpose-driven type, we've had an entire generation of kids who have never experienced any kind of meaningful form of catechesis or even basic biblical instruction.
Pastor Chris Roseborough speaking at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
As a result of this, they have never been exposed to what the Bible teaches regarding the one true God who exists in three eternal persons. The reason why the doctrine of the Trinity exists is because this is exactly what God has revealed about himself.
You can watch and listen to Chris Roseborough's presentation, Making the Case for the Trinity, and all of the teachings from this year's conference for a tax-deductible donation of $250. It's available via on-demand video streaming or podcast. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
We're going to be addressed the original sin of this country. 400 years old. It's the original sin. Slavery.
The Equality Act is a nuclear bomb on faith communities and any communities or individuals who have a traditional understanding of marriage and sexuality.
If your repentance is purely horizontal, and if it's designed really to curry favor with the world, then that's a repentance that itself needs to be repented of. That is a reflection of a world-oriented, not a God-oriented mentality.
You don't get any more close to the heart of the matter than fathers, mothers, and their children living together in a household. And wherever his word is, there the blessing will be also.
Taiwan de Xinjiao Shi and I Ting Issues, etc., that Taiwan missionaries love Issues, etc.
Joel Osteen is, in a lot of ways, kind of like a warm blanket. People tune in to feel affirmed, and he does that. He affirms people. He will affirm you, and then he'll tell you that that's not only his affirmation. It's not just what he thinks about you. It's what God thinks about you. Does he have the Bible on his side every Sunday, at least every Sunday when he's able to do his program from his big Houston church? He holds up that Bible and he says, "This is my Bible. I am who it says I am." And he has his Bible creed with his congregation there and worldwide. So is what Joel Osteen is preaching divine affirmation or just Joel's affirmation? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the new studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're going to be listening to a little bit of Joel Osteen's sermon, You Are Good Seed. Pastor Chris Roseborough will be our guest. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We got four sound bites lined up to play for you. We play them, you listen, you vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Or an email talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and your votes will decide which will be Soundbite of the Week. Joining us for This Week in Pop Christianity to talk about Joel Osteen's sermon, You Are Good Seed, Pastor Chris Roseborough. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
You have been reviewing Joel Osteen's sermons for the last decade. Has anything changed about his preaching in all that time?
The general message is still the same, but one of the things I've noted over the past year or two is that Joel makes very little effort nowadays to make it appear like he's actually working biblical texts into his sermons. In the past, he may have quoted from the message or a verse out of context and put a reference up. But more and more of his sermons, that rarely happens, if at all. And when he makes references to the Bible, he might make an allusion, you know, make a tie back to a biblical story, but he never reads it, never actually works through a biblical text, doesn't start the sermon by saying, please open your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians or the book of Genesis. He never does that. And his teaching has gotten noticeably worse in that category. And more and more, he very overtly teaches that human beings are good, and you would almost argue that he is arguing that human beings are not merely good, but they are divine. And we'll hear traces of that in this sermon that we'll be listening to today.
He really needs no introduction, but for those who may not have figured out who Joel Osteen is and the absolute phenomenon that he has been as kind of a sidecar to evangelicalism, all these other people doing their stuff, and Joel's out there doing his thing, explain what he's all about.
So some have likened Joel Osteen to being America's pastor. Over the past decade, he's kind of come roaring on the scene since the death of his father. He took his father's place, and concurrent with him taking his father's place at Lakewood as the main pastor, he wrote a book called Your Best Life Now, which was kind of a runaway bestseller at the time. And so Joel Osteen is really, in many ways, become the face of kind of television evangelical Christianity. He rarely, if ever, talks about sin. It's just just seems like an awfully nice guy, somebody that you'd like to sit down on a summer day, in the evening in the shade of the trees and drink some sweet tea with. But people look to him as their pastor, and they are regular to tune into his messages on a week by week basis to make themselves feel good. That's clearly what the niche that he's filling.
Now, real quickly before we get to our first bite, he is word faith, although he would never tell you he's word faith. What does that mean?
So the word of faith heresy is the belief that your faith-filled positive words create your future, or if you speak negative words, those negative words create your future as well. So your words, then, your faith-filled words have power to create good results for you in the here and now. And this is a major piece of his doctrine, the positive declarations that you are to pronounce over your life. Like, I am wealthy, I am healthy, I am wise, I am the head and not the tail. This is he almost sounds like Stuart Smalley from the Saturday Night Live from years and years ago. I'm smart and I'm good looking and gosh darn it, people like me. That it's kind of the same mentality. It's very much his messages are very much in the mainstream of what we would consider to be self-help and self-affirmation type of teaching and preaching.
What should we listen for in this first bite from Joel?
All right, so we're going to start off with him laying out the problem. Life apparently is bringing you down. Are you suffering from mediocrity? Well, he's going to note that this is that he's going to present the problem as that, and then say what the solution is, and that is an embracing of a mindset as it relates to what he calls being a good seed.
I want to talk to you today about you are good seed. Life tries to convince us that we're average. There's nothing special about us. We have too many obstacles. We'll never accomplish our dreams. We've made too many mistakes. We'll never leave our mark. We don't realize who we are. The scripture says we have the divine nature of God. We are His offspring. That means you have the DNA of Almighty God. In your seed is favor, creativity, courage, new levels. You can't have God's DNA and be average. That seed will override challenges. That seed will propel you where you can't go on your own. If you're going to reach your potential, you have to know you are good seed. God wouldn't have breathed His life into you. He wouldn't have chosen you before you could choose Him if you didn't have purpose, destiny, greatness. There's something in you that will cause you to leave your mark. You may have made mistakes, but that didn't stop the seed. You may have come from negative circumstances, but that doesn't change your seed. Don't let how you were raised, what you didn't get, any dysfunction, convince you that you're not up to par. You can't do something great. The environment doesn't change the seed. You can have bad circumstances, but because you're good seed, you're still going to shine. You're still going to blossom. A young lady told me how when her mother was pregnant with her, she was addicted to drugs. When she was born, she had the same addiction. It seemed like she was at a disadvantage. She was sent from foster home to foster home. All the odds were against her, but today she's successful. She runs her own company. She has healthy children, a great marriage. Why is that? Bad circumstances can't stop a good seed.
All right, Chris. Does the Bible teach that we have God's DNA, that we have the very nature of God?
No, not even in the book of Genesis. This was a strange statement on his part. In the book of Genesis, it makes it clear that mankind is created in the image of God. There is a text, I think it's 1 Peter, that says that we are partakers of the divine nature, which requires unpacking and interpretation. But I assure you, when you do the exegesis on this, you don't come out saying that we have a divine nature, or that we have God's DNA inside of us. That what he is saying is spurious in so many regards, you can't even begin to say that it's biblical. And the way he's talking is an overt denial that we are born according to Scripture. This is found in Ephesians chapter 2, that we're born dead in trespasses and in sins, that we were followers of the world, and that we were under the dominion of darkness and sons of disobedience. Romans 3 makes it clear that none is righteous, no, not one. No one seeks for God. Together they have turned aside and become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And so you'll note that not only is this like a denial of the doctrine of original sin, I almost, after hearing this, believe that Joel Osteen believes in the doctrine of original divinity, that each and every one of us are little gods, you know, and that's the only way I can describe what it is that I heard him say.
Why doesn't he just go to that passage, misusing it as he would be, from the New Testament where it talks about participating in God's divine nature? That would be a slam dunk for Joel.
You would think it is, but the problem is that when you just read around the context on that, it becomes very difficult to make it appear that that's the case. And you're going to note that Word of Faith teachers, even in the past, when Ken Copeland overtly taught the little gods doctrine as well as Joyce Meyer, that was not one of their go-to texts, because the wording on it makes it so that it's difficult to stake everything on that. And so, and not only that, it's kind of a charged passage because of how the Eastern Orthodox use it in their understanding of what they call theosis. So you would think it's a slam dunk, but oddly enough, that has not historically been a go-to passage for them.
What's next?
Okay, so now that we've got this idea that we've just got to embrace that we're good seed, and that then we can achieve our potential, as he says, where he goes next is he's going to then explain why we experience bad things in our lives, and he'll explain how that then becomes an important part of how we are then to achieve our potential.
Can I tell you? You are good seed. God has crowned you with favor. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. You wouldn't be here if you weren't equipped, empowered, and anointed. You may have been raised in an unhealthy environment by people that had issues, but here's the key. You came through your mother, but you came from Almighty God. Who you come from is more important than who you come through. And the soil may not always be perfect, but because your seed is so good, you are from is more important than who you come through. And the soil may not always be perfect, but because your seed is so good, you will succeed despite the dysfunction. You will prosper despite the economy. You will raise great children despite negative influences. You will overcome the illness despite what the medical report says. All these negative circumstances, really, they're just fertilizer. They can't stop your seed. The stinky stuff, the bad breaks, the people that walked away, we don't like it, but it didn't stop your destiny. It simply fertilized your seed. It made you stronger, more competent. Now, don't complain about the fertilizer. You need fertilizer to boost your growth. We have some flower beds at home, and a couple of times a year, we put mulch in them. One of the main ingredients of mulch is manure. It smells so badly, you could hardly stay outside. But in a couple of months, the smell is gone, and the plants are blooming, blossoming, seeing new growth. The fertilizer, as stinky as it smells, it's providing valuable nutrients and minerals for the plants. And sometimes life stinks. We go through things that are not fair. We came down with an illness. Our child is struggling. The business has slowed. We think these negative circumstances are going to stop us. Have a new perspective. It's fertilizer. It stinks, but it's not working against you. It's working for you. God is going to take what was meant for your harm and turn it to your advantage. It was meant to stop you, but if you'll keep believing, keep thanking God, keep doing the right thing, you're going to come out stronger, healthier, better than you were before. Don't sweat the stinky stuff.
So, Chris, that's something a little different. I mean, I've heard him talk that way before, but, you know, it's COVID. So he can't just sit there and tell people that they can talk or think or believe their problems away. Some of those problems are somewhat permanent, like the loss of a job or even of a loved one. What's the spin he's putting on all of that?
So now, as you've correctly pointed out, COVID has changed the game a little bit for him as far as what he can get away with in his messages. And so are you experiencing bad circumstances because of COVID? Have you lost your job, or maybe you've gotten sick and it's taking a long time for you to recover? Maybe you've caught COVID yourself, or you have somebody who maybe died, as a result of catching COVID. All of that being said, he turns all of these negative circumstances into now a vital component of your growth as a seed, as a good seed. And so all that bad stuff is the fertilizer that provides the nutrients so that you can finally fulfill your destiny, is the way he's talking. And again, I got to point out, there isn't a biblical text that talks in this way. And the purpose of Christianity is not to motivate you to go after the best job out there or to experience success financially here within the United States. The focus of Christianity is to take lost sinners who were originally created in the image of God, and through Adam and Eve's fall into sin, Adam specifically, they've been corrupted and separated from God, and as a result of it, experience death and experience sicknesses and diseases and plagues and things of this nature. All of these things are because of our sin. And the good news then is that God has had pity on us. He has sent his only begotten Son, born of the Virgin Mary, suffers under Pontius Pilate for our sin and for our salvation, and so that we can be reconciled to God. And he does that by bleeding and dying on the cross and then rising from the grave on the third day. And the hope that we have is not that we're going to leave our mark in this world. The hope that we have is that we're going to be called out of the grave by Christ and resurrected into a new heavens and a new earth and see God and be with him eternally in a world without end. But you'll note that everything of the focus of Joel Osteen's theology is in the temporal, in the here, in the now, as if somehow that's really the focus, that Christianity is going to help you to achieve something right now. But the reality is that we're called to deny ourselves, take up our cross, be dead men walking, if you would, and follow Christ to our own death. I mean, and to mortify our sinful flesh and its passions and serve others. But you don't hear that here. And you'll note that he also constantly refers to sins as issues or mistakes or dysfunctions or circumstances, rather than calling them what they are. And it's just, this is a very, very sad sermon on so many levels.
It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. We're reviewing Joel Osteen's sermon, You Are Good Seed. This is from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, called Speaking Boldly. Think about what happens when people speak law and gospel with one another. There is much more going on than just words and thoughts of one person going into the ears, heart, and mind of another. We already know that the word we speak is not our word, it's God's. Find out more about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day, at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order it, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. After the break, we're going to hear Joel Osteen talk about going from the prison to the palace.
I'm afraid of death. Do I have enough faith to die? Will it be painful to die? What about deathbed conversions? Does God really forgive me if I've lived my whole life not as a Christian? These and many other questions are answered in the September issue of The Lutheran Witness, The Ars Moriendi, The Art of Dying Well. To subscribe, visit cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective, cph.org/witness.
Timeless truth that prepares scholars to serve their neighbor in all of life through their various vocations. This is what scholars receive at Wittenberg Academy. If you are looking for a solidly Lutheran online education for your child, consider Wittenberg Academy, where doctrine is sound, academics are rigorous, and relationships are genuine. We offer full-time, part-time, and diploma track options to meet your child's Lutheran education needs. We partner with brick-and-mortar schools and homeschools. You can find out more at wittenbergacademy.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
What he was doing was this time-honored practice of civil religion in America where you blend Christianity with American ideals, and it's always at the loss of Christianity.
The Equality Act is a nuclear bomb on faith communities and any communities or individuals who have a traditional understanding of marriage and sexuality.
You need a household that is firm, that has to stand against many things, and the temptation to forsake the Lord's word for the world's priorities is immense.
Things the church repents of are going to be the things that are articulated in Scripture as those things that are most damning. And that means we can't dance to the world's tune on repentance priorities.
In 10 minutes, we'll play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. Those four soundbites played in their entirety. After you've listened, you vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE. In the meantime, we're listening to Joel Osteen's sermon, You Are Good Seed. It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Rosebrough. Chris, what is next in Joel Osteen's You Are Good Seed sermon?
So our final soundbite, we're going to note that what he's going to do is reach back into the Old Testament to the story of Joseph, which, if you consider the story itself, lends itself towards the theology that he's created in this sermon, but none of the theology is biblical. Joseph is a fellow who experienced setbacks and circumstances and things like that, but ended up having a good outcome. So what he's going to do is he's going to use the story of Joseph as some kind of pattern that you should expect to see in your life. And of course, everybody knows the reason why Joseph succeeded is because he's good seed. Yeah, we'll let Osteen explain.
What God has put in your seed, that greatness, that purpose, no sickness, no addiction, no trouble, all the forces of darkness, cannot keep your seed from flourishing. Just ask Joseph, betrayed by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, falsely accused, put in prison, one bad break after another. He could have been depressed. God, you said I'd be in leadership. I must have heard you wrong. He understood this principle, that bad circumstances cannot stop good seed, that negative situations are simply fertilizer. They're necessary so you can bloom. When his brothers betrayed him, instead of trying to get even, his attitude was, they just fertilized me. When Potiphar's wife falsely accused him, I'm not worried, more fertilizer. One day, unexpectedly, the Pharaoh called for Joseph. He went to the palace. He ended up making Joseph the prime minister of Egypt. I talked to a man that was so upset because his boss was against him, always trying to make him look bad. I told him what I'm telling you. It's fertilizer. Stay on the high road, and God will not only do a work in you, but he'll take care of your enemies. It may stink right now, but don't worry. Fertilizer stinks. That means you're about to see new growth. He got his passion back and went to the office being his best, taking the high road, working under God, not under man. Several occasions he should have been promoted, but because of this unfair boss, he was passed over. One day the CEO of the whole company was in town, and this man had to give a report. The CEO was very impressed with his work. About a year later, a position came available that should have gone to his boss, but this CEO skipped over the boss and went straight to this man and offered the position to him. Now, instead of having to work for that boss, it was hard to get along with, the tables have turned. The boss is working for him. One touch of God's favor and you'll go from the back to the front, from the prison to the palace.
I'm just amazed at how he can speak so freely, Chris, of God's favor and just leave Jesus out entirely.
Right. You'll note that we do not have God's favor at all apart from Christ and the forgiveness of sins. One of the passages that a lot of people know by heart is the Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, and we know this by heart, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But at the very end of that same chapter, it says these words, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. That's in the same chapter as everyone's favorite verse, John 3:16. And so you'll note that he just talks about God's favor without any cross, without any suffering, without God giving anything. It's apparently by virtue of the fact that we have divine seed in us. Now, my immediate question when I heard him talk about this fellow who got the promotion over his boss, my first question was, how then, what was going to be God's favor for the boss? Because wasn't that fellow's boss also somebody who had the divine nature and God's seed and God's DNA? And so when you start taking, you know, a closer look at his theology and asking the question, well, why this person and not the other person, if every one of us has the divine DNA within us, then you'll note that starts to create a breakdown, because we all recognize that one of the reasons why we have enemies is because, well, people are evil. And even myself, I have a sinful nature, and it desires to do evil things. But in this, what ends up happening with the doctrine where everybody is good seed, where everybody has the DNA and divine nature of God, you then are incapable of explaining evil in the world and the circumstances that we find ourselves in. This thing will start to break down because of the inconsistency. I want to know, why didn't the boss experience God's favor? Why was the other fellow promoted over him, you know, when, you know, that other guy has every right to claim that he's as much divine as the other guy? It doesn't make sense.
Does Joel Osteen's theology, such as it is, require the person who believes it to ground the certainty of God's favor entirely in their life circumstances, their experiences right now?
Yeah, no. So their understanding of God's favor is going to come from a misappropriated understanding of God's favor. But over and again, what ends up happening is that their understanding of God's favor, they hang on to this view of it regardless of circumstances, and it almost gets you to a point where you're denying or refusing to say the truth about the circumstances that you're in. So if you visit the doctor and the doctor finds a cancerous lump, and they do the biopsies and it comes back and shows that it's spread into places, that it's bad and it's stage four, Joel Osteen teaches you not to say that you have cancer or to let your words come into agreement with that diagnosis, but you're to maintain that you have God's favor and that your faith-filled words create the truth and that you're going to come through these circumstances. This is just fertilizer. And so you're going to note that this becomes, you can almost describe it as some kind of a toxic positivity, so toxic that you are being driven to deny reality and for real call out to God in prayer and asking him for his help in the midst of your circumstances. But instead, you just believe in this nebulous favor, which could disappear if you say bad words or if you make a negative confession. So it's, again, this is a weird theology that enslaves people to what you could almost describe as toxic positivity.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. You'll find a link to Fighting for the Faith on the Talk On Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got our four soundbites ready to go. After we have played them, it's your turn. You'll give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at IssuesETC, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, and vote for Soundbite of the Week. Stay tuned. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at IssuesETC.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity, you're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.